Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Welcome back, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
And Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Rick, the country just experienced another tragic shooting event in the Chicago suburb of Highland Park on July 4th. I actually went down there immediately afterwards, but before I give an update, the fireworks in Duluth were postponed, but it wasn't in fear of other attacks, although that did happen elsewhere in the country. What's the story locally?
It was not a tragic reason for the postponement. It was simply Mother Nature. Delivered a rainy, foggy, and cold day to the Northland Monday. And so the Twin Ports organizers postponed the bulk of the 4th of July festivities to today, July 8th. So folks will still be able to check fireworks out in Duluth and hang out at the park there. Festivities begin with music at 5 o'clock, and then the fireworks are on tap for 10 p.m. Food, drink, and craft vendors will also be on hand. What was the mood like in Highland Park, Robin?
Well, people told me it was really soul-crushing to, of course, ever happen, but especially on July 4th. It happened at their annual town parade, and this was the first one they'd had in 2 years because of the pandemic. A 21-year-old man who's a resident of the town got on a roof and shot into the parade, killing 7 and injuring dozens. You know, Highland Park is a fairly upscale community, and almost half the population is Jewish, as were, it's not completely confirmed, but it seems a majority of the 7 victims. I spoke with a member of that community, psychiatrist Mark Slutsky, for the Jewish Forward. Here's what he had to say.
I think the Highland Park Jewish community is looking at this as the most personal, intense version of what's going on in the country. And we thought that somehow we had gotten past all of our history, that somehow we had arrived at a place where we were safe. All of a sudden, we say that this isn't the way we thought things were going.
So, Rick, the Highland Park police are being praised for quickly apprehending the suspect. He had put on women's clothing to make his escape and was at large for about 4 hours and then caught. Back in Duluth, there's a search for a new police chief here.
Yes, that job has now been officially posted. Last week, the city of Duluth started accepting applications for its soon-to-be-open police chief job, and an appointment is likely to be made in September. Applications will be accepted through July 31. Mike Tuscan will retire as the head of the Duluth Police Department on August 1st, and he's going to be taking on a new role as law enforcement program coordinator at Fond du Lac Tribal and Community College. He announced this recently. Tuscan has led the agency since early 2016. City officials said they will hold several public meetings to receive feedback and answer questions from community members. Initial meetings will be held in eastern and central locations in July, followed by a candidate review and interviews in August. Finalists will then appear at another public session in the western part of Duluth in early September. Exact dates and locations will be released at a later time, the city has said, and the entire timeline is subject to change as the search progresses. Duluth Mayor Emily Larson has exclusive authority to appoint the chief, though it is subject to city council confirmation. Because the process will extend past Tuscan's retirement date, an interim chief is expected to be announced in the coming weeks. With a 2022 budget of $26.2 million, the Duluth Police Department includes approximately 158 sworn officers and 40 support staff across patrol, investigation, and administrative divisions.
Okay. Well, Danny, big news in the world since we last spoke include the Supreme Court's ruling overturning Roe v. Wade. What's that mean for Wisconsin and Minnesota, especially in our border area?
Yeah, well, for Wisconsin, it means that a more than 170-year-old abortion ban goes back into effect since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade. And that's sending a lot of patients here in Wisconsin over the border in Minnesota and Illinois to seek care or abortion procedures. And that includes the WeHealth Clinic in Duluth, where Executive Director Lori Casey has said that they've started to see an increasing amount of people from out of state come to their clinic, which only provides procedures once a week right now, but they're looking at adding capacity, adding physicians and staff to accommodate any influx in out-of-state patients. And part of the reason for that is they're seeing out-of-state patients from Texas and surrounding states heading to the Twin Cities clinic that provides abortion procedures. And so that's sending a lot of people who live in the Minneapolis area up here as they're starting to see more demand down there. And also, Casey said that they are beginning to see more people from mid-southern Wisconsin in Duluth. And last year, they had around 90 patients from Wisconsin throughout the year, and that's about 20% of the number of procedures that they had offered throughout the entire year. And she expects that that will continue to grow now that Wisconsin severely restricts or basically is outright illegal for people to seek procedure currently in the state, although Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is challenging that more than 170-year-old abortion ban and the legality of it. So it remains to be seen how that will play out.
Well, a little more local to Superior, although it does have some environmental ramifications to Minnesota, I suppose. You've got an update on the proposed gas plant?
Yes. So the $700 million proposed gas plant in Superior has seen another environmental assessment come out. There was a supplemental environmental assessment released last month regarding the project, and that came as a result of environmental groups, including Clean Wisconsin and the Sierra Club, asking for the Rural Utility Service within the U.S. Department of Agriculture to take another look at the climate impacts of that project as part of financing that Dairyland Power Cooperative is seeking to support the project. Dairyland Power is one of three utilities that are seeking to build this plant in Superior, along with a subsidiary of Minnesota Power. Essentially, this supplemental environmental assessment took a look at the carbon emissions that would be produced from this plant if built. And it's around 2.7 million tons of carbon that would be released into the atmosphere each year, which regulators say is about 1 million tons fewer than is currently being released by other coal-fired assets in Minnesota or surrounding states. And so they argue that this project would not have a significant impact on greenhouse gas emissions, since it would essentially reduce the amount of carbon that's being released into the atmosphere. And so environmental groups are continuing to challenge this project. And most recently, environmental groups in Wisconsin are appealing a ruling from a Dane County judge back in May that basically upheld the Public Service Commission's approval of the project in Wisconsin. So the plant is still facing legal challenges, but utilities say that they're committed to building it and that these ongoing challenges only delay the transition to cleaner energy sources and ultimately would increase costs for the project, which would be passed on to consumers.
Well, something else that affects us on both sides of the bay and the entire Great Lakes are fish advisories telling you what's safe to eat from what you pull out of the water.
That's right. You know, fish is a very popular food in Wisconsin. Friday night fish fries are pretty popular, and it's also a staple for Wisconsin tribes. But this new study finds that only about half of Great Lakes residents are aware of fish advisories that set safe limits for eating fish. And this study was published last month, and researchers from the University of Wisconsin in Madison and also the Wisconsin Department of Health Services have said that they found in this survey that about 5 million people were eating more than what the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency recommended. And that basically is no more than 2 meals a week or 12 ounces of fish. And they found that women and people of color and younger residents were less likely to be aware of these advisories and the risks of eating fish that may be contaminated with mercury or PCBs or so-called forever chemicals known as PFAS. And so this is something that they want to be working on so that they can get more information out there in a way that's readily and easily accessible to all sorts of populations. They don't want people to stop eating fish altogether. You know, they highlight that fish has a number of benefits and the nutrients that it offers. Basically, they're just looking at ways that they can reach more populations, whether that's through social media, through physicians, or other avenues to make sure that people are getting this information, that they're aware of the risks, and that they're weighing all of this as they are enjoying, you know, their Friday night fish fry.
You know, I'm pretty much pescatarian, so I may be one of those 5 million people who needs to start paying attention to those advisories. And thank you for sharing that, because this is one of the ways to get the word out through radio. So thanks, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
All right. We've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News, and Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org and DuluthNewsTribune.com. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. We leave you with more of the music of Imogene. I'm Robin Washington, and it's great to be back with you. Stay safe, everyone.